If people don't know what you're looking for, they can't help you.
Yeah.
Most people get business through referrals, but even more importantly, you want people to be talking about you when you're not in the room. And that's really where the visibility comes in.
Welcome to the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast, where we empower female business owners to step boldly into the spotlight and claim the recognition they deserve. I'm your host, Tori Barker. I'm passionate about helping women like you transform your visibility into tangible business success. Each week on this show, we'll dive deep into game-changing strategies, share inspiring success stories from women who've mastered their visibility, and offer practical, actionable advice you can implement immediately. Whether you're just starting your entrepreneurial journey, pivoting your business model, or ready to elevate your existing presence to new heights, you'll discover effective approaches to create exciting opportunities and expand your reach. So let's harness the power of strategic visibility and grow your business together. Welcome to the show. Hi, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us again on the Visibility Strategies for Women Entrepreneurs podcast. I am so excited to introduce you to my guest, Rachel. How are you?
Great, Tari. Thanks for having me here today.
So tell us a little bit about who you are and what you do.
So I am a networking coach and I work with professionals. I like to say to help them take the icky out of networking and turn that into sticky, long-lasting relationships. I got into this kind of by accident. I was a chief customer officer at a food tech company. And when I left that role, I didn't know what I wanted to do next. And I was got all the way to the top. You reach the top of the mountain and you're like, okay, where do I go now? The only way from there is really down or you stay there. And I didn't really want to do either. And I realized that to find my next opportunity, I had to network. And every job I ever got was through networking, but it was always kind of given to me in a sense, like, here's the next opportunity, interview, you got the job. And everyone that I knew was in my past industries. So through hospitality, through tech, as clients and people that I worked with in the past, but I didn't want to stay in those industries. So I ended up meeting 300 people in one-on-one conversations in 1 year and really diversified my network and realized that there was a skill set around networking. Like, it's a skill. It's not something that you just wake up in the morning and say, okay, go network, which is what a lot of people say is just go network, but nobody tells you how to do it. So now I really love investing in people and empowering them to learn that skill and help them to get better at it.
Yeah. I love that you took this experience and used that to build the foundation for your business. And not only that, but found like your zone of genius, your passion in that experience. And okay, let's talk about 300 people in 1 year. Because that's crazy. And I think in your bio or website, I don't know, I can't remember where I read it. But I think you said something about like in the year prior, like from January to May, you'd met like five people or something crazy like that. And then here in a year, you turned that around, you know, 10,000 times.
Yeah, exactly.
So how did you intentionally seek out 300 people or just organically happen? Tell us a little bit about how that came about.
Yeah, pretty much happened organically. So I thought, well, maybe I want to be a chief of staff, see leadership from a different vantage point. And I have the skill set to be able to do it. And I'm very operationally oriented. And I thought, well, maybe I'll see what that looks like, get some more experience in a different way, work more adjacent to the C-suite versus in the C-suite. And I started with five people that I reached out to that were chiefs of staff at different companies. And from there, they connected me to about 40 different chiefs of staff between Fortune 500 and nonprofit and everything in between. And that just kept expanding, expanding, expanding because every person I spoke to, I told them who I was looking to meet. And then they just kept making more introductions for me. And that's part of one of the frameworks that I use is I call it the three I's. And one of the I's is introductions. If you get introductions, you're going to get in front of the right people. That's how you and I met. Yeah. Was through an introduction, and the person that introduced us, I met through another introduction. And so it's a ripple effect.
Yeah.
And if people don't know what you're looking for, they can't help you. But we're always going to need people. And I was just learning a lot of different things, different information. I thought after I experienced that, I was like, oh, well, maybe I'll go back into tech, work for a CEO at a Series B or C company, and be the chief of staff to the CEO. Well, that never ended up working out. And that actually was a godsend in a way, because I think I would have not been happy with that job. I really appreciate creating the hours for myself versus being at the behest of someone else, or company clients, et cetera. But yeah, it was quite a journey to get there.
And what year was that? Was that
It was
twenty?
2020, middle of 2022 to the middle of 2023.
Okay. All right. So the economy and everything was kind of crazy at that time, right?
It
Business
was.
and so
And at the
timing
same
is
time,
everything.
yeah. At the same time, I had like maybe by the end of 2021, I had maybe like 250 LinkedIn connections. And I, by the middle of 2023, I had 1500.
Oh my
And now
gosh.
I'm at almost 7500. But these are people that I'm meeting. It's not just people that are reaching out. I mean, there are some in there, but I would say a good two-thirds or more are people
Yeah.
that I actually have met or know in some way.
Yeah. Well, so what I'm excited in so many ways for this conversation, but mostly because what you do and the networking and the connection side of things is a visibility tool, right? And as the podcast, we're here to talk about visibility strategies. And so I don't think we've had anyone yet who's really specifically talked about networking as a visibility strategy. So I'd love to hear your perspective of how that can be used, or maybe someone didn't think networking was a visibility tool. Maybe talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, the one thing that a lot of people don't realize, networking is something that is a life skill, and it's something that we have to do forever. It's not just a business strategy, but we need it for our entire life. You're looking for a house, you're not going to just pull a random real estate agent out. You're going to talk to friends, neighbors, find out who the best person is that you might want to use. And on the other end of things, if people don't know what you're looking for, they can't help you.
Yeah.
Most people get business through referrals, but even more importantly, you want people to be talking about you when you're not in the room.
Yeah. In
So
a good
that's
way, right? No.
in a good way. Yeah, in a good way. Exactly. And that's really where the visibility comes in, because if you're clear about what you're looking for or what you do, people are going to start mentioning your name.
Yeah.
And I often walk into rooms and people are like, oh, you're Rachel. And I was like, I've never met you before. But it's because people have been talking about me in one way or another around networking, or you need to go talk to Rachel, or they see my LinkedIn profile. My picture looks like me. So when they see me in person, they know that who I am. And that's all key, because if people don't know who you are and what you do and what you're looking for, they can't help you. And that most people just want to help each other. Like, that's what
Yeah.
humanity is how can we help someone else? It's not necessarily that you're going to get benefited. Maybe you will, maybe you won't, but the fact that you can support somebody else is really key.
Yeah. One of the things I want to talk a little bit more about in what you just said was clarity around what you want and asking for that, right? Because I think that's something that I've learned early on, and I didn't know it until it was pointed out in a mastermind that I was a part of, that I was sitting in a mastermind and there was like a group of like 20 of us or something. And we took, 10 minutes each to go through and kind of tell who we were and what we were looking for. And when we first started out, it was very like surface level. Like people were like, I'm so and so and I do XYZ. I'm looking for people who are in business. And so then the mastermind organizer was like, okay, let's pause for a second, and kind of educated us on like, if you're not clear on exactly what you're looking for, people can't help you. So it's almost like you need to describe Jane, right? Like I'm looking for Jane, right? Whatever it is, like really, really hyper specific. How can you tell us a little bit more about how people can craft or clarify that ask in this networking situation? Because I think that's huge and very valuable for the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't really like using the word elevator pitch, but I haven't come up with a better term yet. So that, but everybody knows what that means. So I like to call it a curiosity-driven elevator pitch. And the goal is that when you finish talking about yourself, someone is going to say, "Tell me more." But it should never be more than 30 seconds maximum. If you can say it in one sentence, even better. And it should resonate with people and pull on their heartstrings when you're saying it. So when I mentioned mine that I work with professionals to empower them to take the icky out of networking and turn it into sticky, long-lasting relationships, that generally hits home to people. Like, oh yeah, networking is really icky to me, and I want to make it better, and I want to have long-lasting relationships. Like, those are key words that are interesting to people. But what I often get after that is, oh, well, tell me more. How does that work? And that's the ultimate goal is, can you say something, or what you're saying rather is going to be driven by more questions. And you're not telling the whole kitchen sink all at once. You have a lot of information that you can share, but if you drop it all at once, it doesn't stick. People don't know what you're talking about. And what is that impact that you are making, whether it's on an individual, on a group of people, it's a product, it's a service, whatever it is, if you talk about that impact, it will resonate with people.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's so valuable to pique curiosity because I think that's going to be not only a conversation starter, but it's something that's going to stick with them once they're like, okay, let me think about this. And it like lingers in their thoughts, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. One of the other things I was thinking about as we're talking is that the phrase that people often say that your network is your net worth. So, how do you, first of all, like, what's your thoughts and feelings around that? And then also, like, how do you take that and actually grow that in an authentic way without like the transactional feeling to it?
Yeah, so if you think of the people in your network as currency, as an example, you want to be able to have a really robust bank account. And if we think about it even in a piggy bank form, you want to be adding deposits in all the time. And when you take withdrawals, you don't want to go bankrupt. So the goal is that portfolio is diversified and you're not just putting pennies in, you're putting dollars and savings bonds and all
Love that.
things into that bank account, because there's so many different types of people. And I think part of it where a lot of people struggle is they think they need to only be talking to their ideal customer if they're an entrepreneur. And if they are in business or in a specific industry, they only talk to people in that industry, or they have the same similar role as them. Yes, and you want to be talking to people that are very different from you too, because you never know who somebody else knows or how they might be able to help you. And the more robust your and diversified your portfolio is of people, the more likely your worth is going to be larger. And because you're going to be able to tap in to different people, places, and we are all unique individuals. I always like to say we're more than our job title. People like to introduce themselves. I'm so and so. This is my title. This is a company, but that's not who you are. You're more than that. And that's the same thing with the relationships that you're building. And everything doesn't have to be work related. You could help someone. We'll go back to the real estate agent example. You could help someone find a real estate agent. Maybe they are looking to adopt a dog, and you adopted a dog recently too. So you could help someone with that. There's a lot of different ways that you can support someone that doesn't always have to be business related. And that can help bring about more robust relationships too, because it doesn't feel as transactional. it feels, oh, this person cares about me.
Yeah, absolutely. Now let's talk a little bit about the platform in which you connect, because I think in this day and age, we're so used to online, right? Which online is phenomenal, right? We can now connect with people globally that we wouldn't have had the opportunity to do, several years ago. Not at least not the caliber that we can now. But talk a little bit about like the difference between networking in person versus networking online, and maybe if there's different skill sets or tactics that you use or coach on for either platform.
So I like to say that networking is not one size fits all. And they're similarly to how people interact, it's all on a spectrum of in person versus virtual, being in large groups or small groups. Do you want to go to conferences? Do you want to go to have one-on-one conversations? And when I work with people, it's I work with them and meet them where they're at. So we talk about what is it that you really enjoy doing? Where is your energy going to get boosted? And where is your energy going to get drained? Because if you think about it like a social battery, we got to find the way that your battery is not going to be depleted all of the time. So when it comes to where to show up or where to go, it's really dependent upon the individual. Now, LinkedIn is obviously the best place for business relationships and networking to happen, and it continues to grow. There really isn't a better place right now than LinkedIn virtually for robust conversations other than that. But you can go to webinars, you can join communities that are on WhatsApp or Slack, or there's a million other maybe platforms out there. And also going to in-person events. But I do think in general, whether you prefer in-person or virtual, it's still good to have a bit of a healthy mix of both. It may veer one heavier on one than the other based upon who you are and what you like, but it is good to have a combination because like you're in California, I'm in New York, we would have never met if it wasn't virtually, right? Like the chances of us ever meeting. And so we have to also lean into the technology that we have available, because we're meeting people that we would have never have ever met before.
And let's talk a little bit about the people who are new to this networking concept. Maybe somebody who's a little bit more introverted, or hesitant to network. Are there mindset shifts or thoughts that you commonly help people work through to get over that hump, if you will?
Yeah. There's a mindset acronym that I actually got from a dating coach that I use all the time. And I'll kind of explain how it works. But the acronym is NATO, meaning not attached to outcome, not the Global Alliance, not attached. So when you're dating someone, you go on a first date with them. What's the goal of after the first date?
A second date.
A second date? Not to get married to them, right? On a second date, you go on a second date, okay? Is there a third date? So on, so on, so on. If you are not attached to the outcome, meaning the outcome you ultimately may want to be married, you're just going in and having a good time, you're going to get that second date, then the third date, et cetera, et cetera. The same thing when it comes to networking. Oftentimes people get really nervous. How are people going to think of me? What do I talk about? What if I don't get business? What if nothing comes of this? That's okay. We're just here to show up as our best, genuine, authentic self, and the energy will resonate out. And once you start having conversations, you never know where those are going to lead. But it goes back to the topic that we were mentioning before, is know what your ask is. If someone says, oh, well, tell me a little bit more about you, what are you looking for? How can I help you? Or how can I support you? What is that thing that you want help with? Because if you don't have anything to say, they're not going to be able to support you. But it's also okay to go into an event or in a conversation, and maybe nothing comes out of it in the moment. That's okay. We have information now that we can continue that conversation down the road. So maybe there's an article that I hear that I want to share with you, and then that continues a conversation. Or Maybe I meet someone else at the same event and I'm like, oh, I just met Tori. She was looking for this. You're looking for that. Let me connect you two. And you're doing it in the moment as well. It's about the listening skills, but also knowing it's okay if the outcome doesn't actually happen in the moment. It may eventually happen at some point.
Yeah, I love that. And that reminds me of the kind of like the thought process of there's so many opportunities out there, right? And there's so much business out there for everyone. And you're
Yeah.
not a perfect fit for each individual. So it's like if you can learn to disconnect from that outcome of like, I need to get business, I need a new client, and whoever it is that I'm meeting has to be that person. Well, it may be, yes, but not right now. It can be something that, like you said, can happen over time, and you can't go from the first date to married. So you've got to nurture that connection.
Yeah.
And you know, like we said, everything there's not. You can match certain people and certain people match other people. And so you have to find the right fit for you. But, you know, being okay with the outcome being a connection and just a connection, right? And that can evolve over time, I think is something that's really important for people to really put into perspective when they're doing the networking and not put, I think that it takes the pressure off of them of like, I have to make something of this connection versus I'm just making a connection. This is somebody that can be, you know, a collaborator, a friend, a colleague, a partner, or whatever it might be, and see where it goes. Take it from there.
Absolutely. And if we go back to, like, let's just say elementary school, you're just making friends. You meet someone on the playground and you have, I don't know if kids, you have kids, I know, but I'm sure you watch your kids and you take them to a random playground and they made friends with everybody around them, even though they didn't know them. Let's play a game together. Let's do this together. Whatever it is, same thing for adults. We just somewhere in between elementary school till we become adults. We lose how to do that, but it's still exactly the same thing. We just have more judgment towards ourselves and towards others as we get older, but we never know how someone can support us or help us. If we don't ask, we're never going to find that person.
This is so amazing. I think the networking and the connections are so vital to visibility. Like we've said, you know, all of these different thoughts, approaches, mindset, strategies are just so key to helping us grow over time in our business. And so I just want to say thank you so much for being a guest and sharing your expertise. How can people get in touch with you?
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Tori. The best way is on LinkedIn, or my website, connectioncatalyst.me.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Rachel. It's been a pleasure having you as a guest.
Thanks, Tori.